seems like kind of a crazy high stat, but is it? 46% of the workforce now planning a major pivot or career transition, a totally new career in the wake of the pandemic. A lot of that hinging on remote work. Is that available or not? Maria Retan is the founder of Jump Team. And she's someone not unfamiliar herself with making a full jump in a career. Maria, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great, Anna. How are you today?
Good. So you were a TV news director, thriving in Minneapolis, and that seemed like a good gig. And you said, hey, I'm getting out of this, it sounded like.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Right. Heck yeah, which is a lot of people are saying right now, like, heck yeah, I'm leaving my job. But where am I going? And how the heck do you make a total change in a job when experience matters? I guess there's a lot to talk about here.
Oh my gosh, so much to unpack there. Yes. So yes, I made a career pivot. I left news after 15 years. I took the skills that I had built in news and I translated them to go into public relations and advertising. I would say career adjacent, if you will.
Sure.
And I think that's what people really need to take a look at is, how can I take the skills that I've honed over my career today? What do I love to do? What am I good at? What do I want to continue to do? And what job can I now find that allows me to leverage all the things I love, but very little of the things that I don't love, which is kind of the ticket right now.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, what people have, we've all reevaluated our lives during the pandemic of what's important. I think you said that very, very well. You know, the things you like to do and the things you don't like so much. I'm looking here at a Harris poll, 59%. It's even higher when you look at middle-income workers. So 46% of the total right. workforce say they want to make a change. 59%, nearly 60% of middle-income workers said that they're thinking about changing jobs, and remote work continues to be a draw. I guess that speaks to the happiness quotient you're talking about. Remote work is something that workers kind of like.
Well, not only like, they're demanding it. And that's the thing that's different today than, say, 18 months ago when you might have thought about changing jobs. Today, there is such a dearth of workers out there. There's a higher need than there are actually workers to fill them. So those looking to change careers are in the driver's seat for the first time in a long time, and they're calling the shots. And what we've learned over the last 12 months is working remotely works. It works for a lot of people. You know, we don't spend the time commuting. We are more productive because we're able to work and balance our life at home. You know, we can sneak in some laundry while we're on a conference call. And it really does help us balance our life. And what we're finding today is workers are saying, I want to stay at this job if I cannot be remote, or at least consider hybrid. So now this is a number one priority for workers out there, and especially those middle pay incomes, the ones that you were just talking about,
mm-hmm.
they're saying, you know what, maybe you're not paying me what I want, but by gosh, I want to be able to call the shots when I work and where I work. And so they really want to have that control, and today they can demand it. So what hiring managers everywhere are doing right now is really promoting flexibility when it comes to hiring. They're putting it high in the job descriptions. So I would encourage everyone out there who are considering making a career switch, look for that, because hiring managers have gotten hip to that and they're really promoting it as a point of differentiation.
Have you heard anything like, okay, you can stay remote, but you're going to get a pay cut? Are those kinds of deals
being cut?
No, I haven't heard
that. Mm-mm, absolutely not. Because they're going to lose that individual. It's such a tight market right now for hiring talented people. Hiring managers are not cutting back on pay. What they're doing is they're offering more benefits, with flexibility being the number one benefit. So it's not an either or, it's an and right now for employees.
You know, the other thing you saw during the pandemic was that women fell out of the workplace, right? They had responsibilities
yes.
for childcare and elder care and other things that just became too overwhelming. So they dropped out altogether. And those are the, I guess, most talented folks you could bring back if you offer some semblance of a work from home arrangement. We were citing this study earlier, and it said that while it has become more and more successful as months go by, this work from home experiment, that when we talk to executives, a recent poll found that the executive management types are saying that only 5% of them said, yeah, you know what, we can go fully remote and this will be a success. Our business will be a success. 5%. Maria, that's not a lot.
You know what I say to them, Anna? They need to work harder, because right now, Twitter, Shopify, Dropbox, all have said they're going to work from permanently, have permanent work from home setups. These are big employers. And what I'd like to invite these executives to say, who, by the way, are probably white men, older white men, I'm just going to say we still have that problem across the board in corporate America, is they have to figure out how to manage them. If you're going to have a remote workforce, you have to set up your operations and your systems to onboard remotely, manage remote, have a higher touch base ability, right? You're not going to see people face to face, so you have to go out of your way to call them, have a Zoom call, have more conversations. It's a different way we're going to have to learn how to manage, and that takes time. So it's not a matter of it can be successful or not successful. It will be successful if you're able to adapt your company to manage remotely. So that's what needs to be the focus is, no matter what, this is going to happen. People are demanding remote work. You're not going to have the best and the brightest if you, the employer, do not catch up and figure out how to make it work for your organization.
Listener question here, Maria. Please ask your guest, Anna, with all of the offshoring of certain jobs, if a job can be 100% remote, will that mean we're going to have to start competing with people outside the U.S. for those jobs? Will that happen?
Very good question. Really good question. And I would say right now, you will have to compete potentially globally for the jobs, but more often than not, nationally. Jobs. Before, you might have been geographically bound, right? Because you had to physically go into workplace. Well, right now, hiring managers have the whole pool of the United States to pull from. I would say that that's going to be more likely the pool that they pull from rather than international, because there's a whole nother level of organization that needs to take place when you had a global, you know, a global employee base. That's just a different scale that you have to work at. But geographically in the United States, yes, you're absolutely correct. You may be competing with those candidates. At the same time, I like to say you're also not limited to geography if you're looking for a job. You can look for a job anywhere in the United States. So it goes both ways.
So with Jump Team that you started, and I'm sure you're awfully busy right now because people are jumping to different careers, I just wonder, how do you assess, Maria, if it's more of a burnout kind of thing? You think about over the last 15 months what workers have had to do to keep adjusting constantly to the changing needs and the changing home life situation, that there's a tremendous amount of burnout. And I just wonder how many of those folks are thinking, oh, I don't like this job, no matter what it is, or if it's truly time for a big change.
Oh, such a great question, Anna. And you're right. We're all burned out to some way, shape, or form. So how do you know the difference? If you can, try to remember what it was like 12 to 18 months ago. How were you feeling about the position before the pandemic hit? Were you itchy? Were you not really loving what you were doing? And have you had a sneaking suspicion there's something else out there for you to do? I do believe in the power of the gut. So really, you know, think about it with your head and your heart. Do you find yourself dreaming about other ways to fill your days? So not just another place to do it, but other jobs that might be interesting for you to try out. Do you long for a different kind of life? You know, what does that life include? And are those things that this job you're in today, this career you're in today, be able to afford you that kind of life? That may be compensation. It might be the activities that you do day to day. The other thing I would say is, do you feel like that you just can't get up and go to work anymore? Meaning, you know, you're avoiding the work. Maybe you're exhausting your sick leave. Is your performance starting to suffer? Are you mailing it in? Have maybe others suggested it's time to look for another job? All of those are actually signs of burnout. But if you have a suspicion that there's other things for you to do in life, something else that really gets you excited, that involves something other than your current career, that's going to be the big indicator. And I would say, talk it over with a close family friend or spouse or partner about, you know, when did they remember you being most happy and fulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
And start to, you know, mark down some of those cues.
You know, Maria, it's funny you said something that gets you super excited. True story, I had someone reach out to me and ask me about a career in journalism or broadcasting, documentary making maybe, and he is a highly successful financial guy, was based all around the world, and makes a ton of dough, and seemingly to everyone else had the perfect job, and he was so happy, and, you know, whatever, whatever. He's seriously looking at a career in journalism. That's a huge pivot, right? And I just wonder, if you talk about people changing fully careers, maybe not something that's even in the wheelhouse of where their you know, skills seemingly are, or where what their resume speaks to, how do you advise taking that kind of a jump or that kind of a leap?
Well, one, prepare, right? You cannot just flip the switch. You need to prepare. I always recommend that you take stock of your finances. Give yourself 6 months to a year, if you can, cushion. Because what you want to do, one, you want to learn as much as you can about that new career. You want to talk to people who have it. You might want to shadow someone, right? Or do some type of volunteer work in that career to really get a sense of it, get a taste of it. But then also start to really analyze your finances and give yourself a cushion. Because I feel like it's easier to do if you have the financial backing to make a mistake or even a misstep, if you will. I'm not going to call it a mistake because I feel like exploring your options is always a good thing. But do it so that you're not risking your financial future. Give yourself that softer landing.
Good advice, Maria. Jump Team is your company. How do we find you?
Please reach out to me at jumpteamcoaching.com. You can get my contact information on the website and learn more about my virtual coaching service.
Awesome, Maria. Have a good afternoon. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us here at WGN.
Thanks for having me on, Anna.
Maria Retan is her name. She's with Jump Team. We're going to talk with Andy Challenger of Challenger Gray and Christmas. What are they truly seeing right now in terms of the data? Are people really quitting their jobs to go find a whole new career? What are we seeing in terms of remote workforces? Are people returning to the office as expected next month? Does it look like that's going to happen? Andy joins the show next here on WGN. Andy Challenger of Challenger Gray and Christmas is on the phone with us. Global job search career transition coaching they do, but they're based here in Chicago. Andy, how the heck are you today? How's Monday going for you?
It's going well. Off a nice weekend with lots of activity. The city really opened up.
You didn't happen to go to the Cubs game and be part of that beer cup snake thing phenomenon. Were you out there, Andy?
I wish. It was like a home opener. The second one this year. Pretty cool.
I know. It was so cool to watch. I thought it was super fun to watch the fans just letting loose. And it was just, they were having a great time. It was so nice to see. It really was. I wasn't out there either. But it seemed like an awesome time. Let me ask you about this, because we've been talking a lot about remote work and how everyone's treating this. I sort of thought that July was sort of that kind of penciled in date way back when we sort of thought a lot of folks would be back in the office. I'm wondering what you're seeing right now in terms of the data and the trends. Are people coming back?
They are starting to come back. We're certainly seeing a lot of employers reopening their office. Whether they're mandating that employees are there in person is a different question. Most companies we see right now are moving to somewhat of a hybrid model. They're allowing people to continue working from home for some days a week, asking to come in a couple days a week. And it still seems to be pretty person by person right now. Most companies are giving people the option to continue working from home. That is likely to change and become more strict than having people in the office over the next weeks and months. That's where we're at right now.
It was interesting because I saw one poll that surveyed managers and they said, how successful do you think your business would be if you stayed fully remote? And it was like 5%. I mean, like 5% said, yeah, that'd be okay. We'd be fine with that. We'd be very successful. And it was sort of a varying degree. I think sort of maybe the most managers agreed that at least 3 days a week was about where it sits. I know these conversations are happening at businesses, you know, across our area right now about what's the right number? How do you negotiate it? Do you allow for that fully remote experience? And I wonder what kind of perspective you have on that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we had this massive real world of experiment of so many people working from home. And what we learned, I think, in a really interesting way, was that we could still be pretty productive in the short run. A lot of jobs, a lot of businesses were able to keep putting out their product, serving their customers. But there is this component, and I hear a big divide between employers and employees right now. Lots of employers wanting to come back and employees expecting not to. But there's, I think for employers, they see this, the long run value of having people come in face to face. It's like building relationships, getting to know each other, right? When you go out to drinks after work or get lunch with your colleagues, it builds up relationships in a way that's really difficult to do via Zoom calls, right? When you're just scheduled moment to moment business agenda. And you know, similarly for companies that are trying to sell into other companies, it's really hard to do that over Zoom or Skype. A lot of that work is done in person. And so you see a lot of companies saying, hey, we made it through this period. We're pretty productive, but now we do need to get back to investing in some of those long-run elements of the business.
I wonder, do you see a ton more applicants for the fully remote jobs? And are people less likely to apply for the fully in-person ones? Are you seeing any of that in terms of what the job data?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit hard to glean that from the data, but it's pretty clear that there's an appetite for fully remote work. We are seeing, you know, one of the really fascinating things that we've seen just this week, last week, the highest rate of quitting jobs that's ever been recorded in this country. 4 million people quit their jobs over the last month. That is a record, and that's usually a really strong sign that people are confident in their ability to go land other jobs. And it's not surprising in some ways that's happening right when companies are asking people to come back to the office.
Wow.
I think we're seeing quite a few people, you know, saying, I'm quitting now, I'm not going back to the office because I've got other opportunities where, you know, I can do my work remotely. I may be able to do it for a company that is 2,000 miles away from here, but they're willing to let me do that. So it's like opened up the labor market nationally in a really fascinating way.
For sure. Say that again. That was a really powerful stat. You said 4 million quit their jobs, and that's the highest in how long?
In the history of recording that stat.
The
U.S. has been tracking that for at least since 2000. So 21 years there. It might be longer than that, but a long time of tracking this quits rate. 2.7% of the working population quit in the last month.
So the confidence is there.
4 million people.
Andy, the confidence is there, as you point out. 815 listener says, I make over $80,000 a year. Every job I look at, especially Amazon, doesn't want to pay a decent wage. I'm sorry, but $18 an hour is garbage. So pay is an issue. Maybe workers are holding out for more pay. Does this put upward pressure on those, the wage? Do you start to see wages creep up in some of the jobs that you're looking at?
We are starting to see wages rising here. It's this really interesting phenomenon right now where we have a huge amount of job openings. There's over 9 million job openings right now, near an all-time high. There's lots of employers trying to bring workers into their place of business. There's also 8 to 9 million people unemployed right now, about as high as that number's ever been, about as high as it ever got during the 2007-2008 recession. So there's a lot of people out of work. There's complicated reasons why they're not going back to the workplace. Part of it is COVID still, people not vaccinated. There's all these child care issues and the unemployment. The enhanced unemployment benefits are probably keeping some people on the sidelines. So it's an interesting combination of factors that's creating
where we are.
Some rising wages in the labor market. Yeah.
Andy, great perspective. Always good hearing from you. Thank you. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
Andy Challenger, Challenger Gray and Christmas.